All right, 8:06 on this Wednesday, June 17th. Jessica, my girlfriend's listening. She goes, I hope the Buffalo trip happens. Yeah, we're going to try to make that. Summer of Adventure is what we call it. And we ought to make a list, Roger, of all the things we've done. Christian Weaver is new to our show. And we've been doing this for 5 years. And hopefully when Justin gets back, we'll be fun to have him back and have a great summer. You know, you know, we do have some sports things going on. You know, you still got Major League Baseball. Roger, we got the SEC Media Days and others. But we'd like to do a few different things, going to the NASCAR races and that's new, and maybe going down the Star and doing a show from down there. Always great to have in studio Rex Nelson with us to talk about these kind of things. Good morning, Rex.
Good morning. Hey, thank Rex. You for having me on. Yeah. Always great to be with the most important Rex in Arkansas, who's Dr. Rex Horn.
That's right. That's right.
Two Rexes. Rex Horn answers to a higher authority than we do, Roger.
Amen. 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 Whether Justin Acree wants to admit it or not. That's a shot. I'm just taking my daily shot. That's it.
There
it's
you
all
go. He heard
cheek.
That.
Tongue in cheek.
The I did mention this morning. I made a post last night. You know, we're kicking off this 500 years of Arkansas restaurant.
Oh, tours. I think it's great.
Yeah, obviously you've been to every restaurant in the state, but I thought between you, Craig O'Neill, and Rex Horn, you're talking about three iconic figures in this state. You know, Craig and Radio, Rex is from a pastor standpoint, and I'm not sure anybody communicates about our state, knows more about our state, and communicates that regularly each week, daily or whatever, than you do with your words on print and on broadcast. I've said you're like a walking Wikipedia page for the state of Arkansas. Now, Rick Schaefer, when it comes to Razorbacks, I think, especially 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Oh, I couldn't hold a candle to him on Razorback trivia.
But when it comes to the state, I think your knowledge is unsurpassed anywhere.
Well, thank you. That's what I know. I don't know much, but I have kind of specialized in Arkansas, and there is nothing that I like doing better than traveling Arkansas. Last week was an example. I was in Rogers on Tuesday, so I'm up near the Missouri border. I'm in Magnolia down near the Louisiana border on Thursday, so you know, it's great being right here in the center of the state in Little Rock because I consider all 75 counties my beat at the newspaper.
And so listen,
I can get everywhere.
I wanted to bring that up. You write a column that appears how often?
3 times a week, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Saturday.
Roger, you know, I wrote a fitness column for the Democrat Gazette for Wally back in the, I think, the 90s. And right. I think I did – maybe it was once a week, and I did it for 7 years or something, 5 or 6 years, and it was
it's a grind.
It was a challenge to come up with topics.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, you've got a gazillion topics, but with those, Rex, it takes, you know, interviews, research to do those. It's a lot.
It does. And here is where I have to be careful. I love going out in the state so much. I love talking to people. I love gathering material. But I don't use AI. Those columns don't write themselves. Right. And so where I get in trouble is I schedule too much time out in the state. And I tell you, there's got to be those days where you schedule that whole day and your butt is tied to that desk where you actually sit down and write.
Yeah.
And that's where I get in trouble. I don't leave myself enough writing time.
Have you ever thought about combining or trying to put all your work together somewhere where every column that you've written – any broadcast or in one place? Now, I would think writing standpoint probably could be accomplished a lot easier than broadcast. But
yeah, you know, if you go to the Democrat Gazette website, at least I guess ever since I started this column,
which
would have been in 2009. Okay, I've been doing this current column for 17 years.
Okay. But then you also wrote a ton before that.
Yeah,
too.
They would all be there. Now, I did it once a week as a freelancer until 9 years ago. And 9 years ago, that's when I went back to the paper full time again and started doing it 3 times a week. But David, that's about 160 columns a year. That would add up to a lot of copy if you put it all in one place.
And your columns are full of content. I mean, I'm telling you deep dive everything that you do. Today was about What did I read about today or yesterday?
Today was about Travis Ford.
Travis Ford, yeah, ULR.
You
talked about
who
the history.
Who I really like, by the way.
Yeah, sure. You talked about the history of the Trojan program and all that. And so, yeah, you've been doing a blog?
Podcast.
And yep. It seemed like you used to write also on your...
I did a blog called Southern Fried Blog. Yeah. It's still there. I pay out of my own pocket, actually, to keep it up and running because there's so much content on there. But I admit I've gotten so busy with other things that I haven't updated that. There's a lot of great content still on the website.
It's an archive of sorts.
Right. I thought so.
Yeah, it's there. RexNelsonSouthernFried.com. You can go get a lot of great content there. But I kind of shifted that Southern Fried brand over into the podcast.
Right, sure.
Trying to become a little more modern, guys.
Right,
Up with technology. And so we do a podcast that we do through the Democrat Gazette that's a new one's posted every 2 weeks.
How many years will this make for you as the voice of the OBU Tigers?
You're going to make me sound old, but I started young. That's what I always tell people. Roger, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Do it!
I've started young. This will be my 43rd season of play-by-play.
I saw the picture of, I think, your first year. And you look like
a baby.
Yeah. How old would you have been? You'd have been.
There's a framed copy in our broadcast booth.
Yes. Yeah. You look like a young man.
You were 40. You so you were two.
I will tell you the story. I was a freshman at Washita, and a guy from Conway, Washita graduate named Glenn Hoggard. Attorney, mm-hmm. His wife, former head of the Arkansas Bar Association. But anyway, Glenn was going to do play-by-play, and I'm going to be the color man. And about midway through the season, my phone rings, or the dorm phone rings, obviously no cell phones of those days, and somebody says it's for you, and there's this very scratchy signal. And it's Glenn saying, I'm not going to be able to make it to the game today. You're going to have to do play-by-play in Russellville.
That's
it was Washita against Arkansas Tech in 1978. And I said, where are you? This phone is scratchy. You're going to love this. Roger, you remember the old Ward Bus Company in Conway?
Of course.
Used to be the biggest maker of school
Absolutely.
Buses in the world.
Yep.
Glenn was working for them. He said, I'm in Saudi Arabia. You can't make this stuff up. I said, Saudi Arabia? They were selling buses to the Saudi government to take Muslim pilgrims to Mecca because of the millions of Muslim pilgrims that go to Mecca every year.
They came to Conway to get them.
And so he says, I'm not going to be able to do the game. Well, he doesn't make it back the next few weeks, and so I just started doing play-by-play at that point. Now, that's more than 43 years ago, but I lived in Washington, D.C. during part of the 80s, so there's a five-year break in there that I didn't do games.
Okay, five-year break.
So this would be my 43rd season, but I actually started 48 years ago.
And how old were you when you first called the first
18.
Game? 18. You were a freshman in college.
Yeah. Wow. Or 19. I just turned 19 in September.
That is remarkable. And, of course, you've been doing...
I was 19 when I first did Washita play-by-play.
Had a great connection with your dad, and you live right by the stadium.
Grew up a block from the stadium. That's the beauty of it, I think, to me, is it's not a job. It's just a part of a passion, who I am. Grew up next to the stadium. The legendary coach Buddy Benson was like an uncle to me. And so, David, I grew up as a little boy going to practice every day, standing on the sideline as a water boy, even when Cliff Harris played in the late 1960s. And continued to stand on that sideline every game all the way through high school. And then I moved to the broadcast booth as a freshman. So I'm sure my mother probably held me at some as a baby, but I've got to tell you, I have no memory of ever sitting in the stands at a Washita football game. I've either been on the sideline or in the press box.
How about that?
For over 60 years.
And you've seen it transition to the Cliff Harris Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And your dad, obviously, your dad was locked into the community and locked into OBU.
Well, my dad and Cliff's dad were roommates, as you know, at Washita together. And so a great ties there.
But yeah, of course, you know, in addition to that, Roger, you know, he's been doing the Touchdown Club. He was a founding member. He was the first person I called and said, I've got an idea. And Rex said, I've got an idea, too. And we both had the idea. We need to start a Touchdown
David,
Club.
David, I can remember like yesterday, we went to the old Chow restaurant in downtown Little Rock. I can still remember where we went. And I had the same thought, great minds, as they say.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we're the biggest city of the South without a touchdown club. Memphis has one. Birmingham had two at the time, on and on. But to dream through this guy's work, let's not kid ourselves, through David's work, but to have dreamed what it would become, that even the luminaries who have been, you know, all over the nation speaking will tell you, this is the best football club in America. And it's in a city of 200,000 people.
That's a great testament. It's a teamwork deal.
But almost 30 years of devotion on your part.
That's where we started it. And, yeah, I love the fact that now, Rex, it's crazy that, like, this board meeting, Board of Trustees meeting somewhere in the last 6 months, the athletic director of the U of A had to talk about his comments at the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
Exactly.
News happens at the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
We can make news. I mean, I think of things that hit the national wire, and now things go viral so fast that your phone will start blowing up before the meeting's even over.
So
we
had 27 million impressions last year with all of our
I think of everything from Johnny Majors talking about how he was stabbed in the back in Tennessee. Yeah, that hit the national wire within hours and went everywhere. How Philip Fulmer stabbed him in the back. I think of John L. Smith saying coaching at the University of Alabama, which went viral, of course. But we've had a lot of viral moments.
Ed Orgeron. That thing. We had back-to-back Gruden and Orgeron, and those were the first public interviews for both those guys since they had been fired. And millions of views and comments. So, and Roger, you know, we got a chance last year this time when we did the Terry Bradshaw show. He made comments and went viral nationwide about Aaron Rodgers eating bark. And so we've been back to the Touchdown Club. And Rex, what you do is it is a tradition that you give the recap of all the scores from Arkansas schools and Razorbacks, and you know what. And it's been not been the easiest of seasons over the years.
And I try to get every Arkansas school mentioned, but Roger, as you know, you got to talk really fast to do that.
Yes.
And even, you know, you talk about the teacher that stays on you. Even after 20-something years, I still get that weekly email from David. You're going to have to speed it up a little bit this week. I got the clock on you. You went 15 seconds too long last week. You've got to speed it up.
Well, you know, thanks
for being my coach, David.
He does that on everything.
Keep me focused. Keep me on mission.
Rex, as you know, too, one of the things that's grown is we acknowledge how many sponsors. I spend 10 minutes thanking sponsors.
Yeah.
But you got to have those sponsors.
You got to keep it moving, though.
Yeah, you do. We, like I said, we get done by 1 o'clock. That's one of the things we're really good about. I don't think in the last 10, 15 years we've
been. Get out there and support somebody.
That's right. That's Rex's.
Get out and see a college football game this week.
Right. Well, one of the things I want to talk about, too, before we get to the food part, we might as well bring it up. We were talking about the floating the buffalo. And so.
Yeah, and I was going to tell you, that's why I signaled over there, the upper buffalo is this time of year entirely rain dependent. I mean, you're not going to go to Ponca and be able to float most days.
Gotcha.
You get on the lower buffalo, though, if you want to get on the lower buffalo near where it runs into the White River, and you're going to get some water.
It doesn't matter about the rain.
It could be low, but you should have some water, but you may have to go to the lower buffalo.
Where do we put in at? Where do you put in at where you're talking about? You're saying the lower.
Well, I mean, there are different places. There's a resort right there where it runs into the White River called the White Buffalo. And you can go upstream. There's all kinds of outfitters there that can tell you where the water is. I tell you another hidden treasure, though, is if you get in that part of the state, the Kings River, I call the Buffalo without the traffic. I think it's just as beautiful as the Buffalo.
Wow. Have
and doesn't
that,
have
Roger,
nearly
before?
As much traffic. And you can get the lower Kings River right where U.S. 62 crosses the Kings River between Berryville and Eureka Springs, near Eureka Springs. You can stay at Eureka if you want to, and float that lower Kings near where it flows into Table Rock Lake.
Okay.
And that's going to have some water, too, the closer you get to the lake.
Where do you think, you know, as far as assets that our state has, like Panama City or Florida has their beaches and the floating, the creeks, obviously the lakes are big here, but where do we stand nationally with those kind of
things? I think we're just a haven for outdoor recreation now. You know, we've always promoted our hunting and our fishing, But now the trail systems we're building, Tom and Stuart Walton's efforts to make us the cycling capital of the world,
right?
Which they're getting there. We've already got the ski lifts open up in Bella
Vista. Yeah, have you heard about this, Christian?
And they're going to have them in MENA, of all places. No,
these are lifts
up the side
for
of
cycling.
Rich Mountains for cyclists.
Not skiing.
Yeah. Is this like outdoor cycling?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like, it's mountain biking.
And what you're
going to have on Rich Mountain, it's so high, it's a form of mountain biking called gravity biking, mm-hmm. meaning the gravity pulls you down the mountain.
Yeah.
And so you take those lifts up to whatever point on the mountain you want to be. But this is going to be, people tell me, for experienced, obviously, down that mountain.
Top
mountain bikers, the top gravity biking location possibly in North America. And David, if you've been over there to Rich Mountain.
How do you get there?
If you come off of the mountain, you go right through downtown MENA.
Okay.
You're doing the skyline there, which is on that street that you go down. They tell me that street is going to turn into like a Colorado ski resort without the snow.
Okay.
That it will attract so many mountain bikers.
Really?
Isn't that something?
That there are going to be brew pubs there. There are going to be cycling shops. There are going to be apparel shops. Up and down that street. MENA, Arkansas, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Really exciting.
Hey, and there's history in MENA.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
You know it. Yeah,
Chris. You better believe it.
Before you were getting into the restaurants, I wanted to ask Rex a question.
Yeah.
I'm from Desark, Arkansas. And
where my mama's from.
I was about to ask you. I understood that you had some connections to Desark.
Yeah. My grandparents both... lived into their 90s, and I would spend large parts of my summer in Desark. My grandfather, now this was before I was born. He had sold them by the time I was born, but he had the funeral home and the hardware store there. It was called Caskey Funeral Home and Hardware Store. He sold to a guy named Willis Eddins. Willis Eddins sold to Billy Garth.
It's still Garth Hardware.
And the funeral home's still there in the building my grandfather built more than 100 years ago. So that's a great thing about Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
We're such a small state.
It is. It's
we're
remarkable.
So interconnected.
Well, and Cliff is from, Cliff spent time.
Senior year.
Yeah,
only his senior year. Now, Tommy, of course, who was a star for the Razorbacks, his younger brother, went all the way through high school at Desark. But, yeah, Cliff played his senior year for the great John Rollins, who was head coach for the Desark Eagles at the time. Cliff's dad worked for Arkansas Power and Light Company, now Entergy Arkansas.
APNL.
And so Cliff grew up in Hot Springs, Roger.
Yep.
We used to go visit them over there. They were walking distance from McLeod's, so that gives you an idea of the neighborhood because we would walk to McLeod's. But he got transferred to Desark. Again, great small state story.
Right.
So my parents, Cliff's parents, very close friends, he gets transferred to my mother's hometown, so they end up buying a house two houses down from my grandparents' house.
How about that?
And so I can remember him going to one of Cliff's games his senior year in high school.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the small world in this state.
Yeah, it is a small world in Arkansas.
We'll come back after the break and talk about some of these restaurants we're going to.
Make me hungry. Great places.
You betcha. There was a 99-yard touchdown that Rex called. It was at the end of the game. They played on the bus several times. We played that. I think that was an interception return for 99.
That's the one that went viral on ESPN.
That was on ESPN.
Yeah. Was that a touchdown or an interception?
It was an interception return
for touchdown.
Is that the one where they said Owachita?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see if Roger or Christian can find that. We played one earlier. We've got a lot of your clips in the system. We love playing them. Somebody says Rex is the new Chuck Dovish. You know what? You know, Chuck was a great storyteller.
Oh, Chuck
THV,
was wonderful. Love watching his old pieces.
The difference is you've been writing. He was with THV.
I'm more of a writer, although I do like to dabble in broadcast.
I think another amazing thing that you've written about is the explosion of the steel industry in Northeast Arkansas.
Unbelievable.
Billions, Roger and Christian, billions. It's the hottest steel area in the country.
Yeah.
Maybe in the world.
Take that, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah,
Arkansas
yeah.
is now
that?
The heart of American steel making.
All right, if you want to be a part of the show, 661-1037. You can text or call. We got to play a little match game today, too, Raji Dodge. We can play with Rex. Joe Nichols coming up, too. Another Arkansan that's got multiple number one hits and doing great in addition to our buddy Justin Moore. Don't go away. 825 here in Morning Mayhem.
Got a man in the end zone, and he's picked off, and it's going to be brought out to the 10, 15, 20, 25.
Yelp hands down.
There it was. I talked over him. We'll play it again, Rex. But you lived it. You lived it. It is 8:30 on a hump day on a Wednesday. Roger Scott, David Basil, Christian Weaver's here. We've had a lot of guests come in. Trey Reed, Craig O'Neill, Rex Horn, Wes Sutton was here. And now with us is an old friend of the station, Rex Nelson.
Did we miss it? Can we play it again? Because I missed it,
play
too.
Play it again. Christian, are you there?
We'll punish our listeners again.
While you're waiting on that, Roger, hey, happy birthday to Tom Mitchell.
Okay.
I don't know how old you are, Tom, but
you're a great Touchdown Club members.
Yeah. And a guy who's given, I think he's at 170-something golf tournaments that he's helped be a part of. So yeah. Also, it's Rodney Parham's birthday. Do you know Rodney?
Rodney
is an architect whose great-great-grandfather was
Rodney Parham. Yeah, exactly.
He was the architect of my house, along with Keith Hardin, my builder. I think there was one other, Andy Hodges. You remember Andy?
Yeah,
that does
the
media,
old newspaper and radio guy.
That's right. Robert Addington over at Channel 4, old buddy over there, and Kerry Giffen, Raj.
Yeah,
Kerry Armstrong Giffen's birthday
today. Kerry.
So happy birthday to them.
Great.
Christian, can we play that again?
Let's see if I can find it here.
Yeah, it's on the Wednesday page.
All right, Raj.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rex.
Very bottom.
Well, I'll tell you a little story if Roger finds it, but I will. It is.
Ahead.
David, it's indicative. We were talking about Touchdown Club moments going viral. Even at a small school like Ouachita, that everything's like online, everything's monitored now.
Yeah, sure.
I had stayed for an event that night. This has been an afternoon game. And I'm driving back to Little Rock, and I'm old-fashioned. I didn't have the phone connected to the car, and I don't like to answer my phone, but it was blowing up. And I could hear it, and I thought, what is going on? I had come back late that night, and it's blowing up, and it's everybody saying ESPN's college football final, you know, their final scoreboard, led the show. They opened the show
with
this call of yours. And then Scott Van Pelt had pronounced Ouachita wrong, and so then he closed the show by going, Ouachita, Ouachita, woo!
That's what he did.
Because,
people had
corrected him so much. And then the next night, and this is when it really went viral, because obviously a much bigger audience even than ESPN, NBC Sunday Night Football used it at halftime of their show.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, NBC used it at the halftime.
And has it happened more than once?
ESPN's happened more than once. That's the only time I've ever made one of the major networks on NBC that I'm aware of.
Gotcha. Well, that's listen.
But that's the world we live in, that you better be careful what you say.
I think
because it could be your mistake.
No, I think you got it, Raj?
Heartbeat.
Let's hear it.
3:36 left in the fourth quarter. Tech trailing by 10, 17-7, but threatening. Burcham on third and goal from the 5 will pass. Lutz got a man in the end zone, and he's picked off, and it's going to be brought out to the 10. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 40, 35, 25, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. DeAndre Evans, no flags down.
Listen, that was nobody does that like you, man. Nobody can. Yeah, nobody can paint it in purple. What is the other things?
Lazarus.
Well, I just hope my health holds out and my eyes hold out enough that I can do it a few more years.
I think you can.
Sure is fun.
Let's talk about our five locations we're going, Rex.
All right, great choices.
500 years combined of restaurants. Let's start. We'll start with the Ohio Club. 121 years old, 1905. You pointed out, David, that this has not been a restaurant for the majority of its
life. It is not the oldest continuously operating restaurant.
That's right.
Because it was just a bar. You couldn't get any food there. You could gamble there. You could get all kinds of other things there for many years.
So it's by far the old. Roger, we were talking the other day that I was in London, and there was a bar that was 600 years old, if you can believe that.
Oh, yeah.
But from a bar standpoint.
It's the oldest bar in Arkansas.
Oldest bar. And then what year did they start serving food? Do you have any idea?
I am not sure. But let me tell you one of the most exciting things that is going on in your hometown of Hot Springs, Roger. And it is the owner of the Ohio Club now is Sadiq Mir and his wife, Jeannie.
Oh, my gosh.
Sadiq.
Buying restaurants
Sadiq
everywhere.
Sadiq ran some of the top hotels in the world. I mean, he's been all over the world, Oakland brought him. To Arkansas.
I forgot about that.
When they decided they were going to build a hotel, they were going to have high dining,
yeah,
fine dining with the Oak Room and the Bugler. So that's how Sadiq got here. He decides he wants to be an entrepreneur. He leaves Oakland and buys the old J&S Italian Villa.
Yeah.
He has now brought in a Michelin-starred chef from Europe, all of his restaurants, but he started with J&S. Then he went downtown and bought the Copper Penny, the Irish bar there. Then he bought the Ohio Club. Then he bought the old Mueller's Bakery. And now he has bought the iconic Fisherman's Wharf out of Lake Hamilton.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a guy with a world-class chef. He's got a world-class reputation. There's five businesses there that are going to be among the best in the nation at what they do.
Yeah,
because this team is so good. And that's really exciting for Hot Springs and for Arkansas to have places of that quality.
And keep them going.
Sadiq and Jeannie will be there tomorrow.
Right.
And there's great people. And
two of my favorite people in Arkansas.
Of course, J&S, Roger, we love having
Sham
and Jamal. Yeah, just great people.
After the Arkansas Derby this year, David, Melissa and I and my son-in-law and his wife, I said, let's go see if we can get into J&S. We had stayed at Oakland for a while afterwards, and so it was getting later. I said, it's later. We might get in now. It's like 9 o'clock. We go out there. Horse trainers, owners, it has become one of the places to be during the race meet. The owner of the previous year's Kentucky Derby winner was in there eating. I mean, it was – if you like racing and want to see everybody who's anybody in the sport – they were in Sadiq's place eating dinner the night after the Derby.
So, you know, Rex, and of course, you know, back then they put a wall up, I think, to back in the early 1900s, because, you know, it was
gambling establishment.
Yeah, it was allowed for a while, and then it came in, it was stopped, you know. Right. I guess maybe during Prohibition, I can't remember, but they had to do things to disguise. But they, according to what I've read, Babe Ruth, Capone, everybody had gone in at one time or another in the Ohio Club.
There were a lot of clubs that had the names of states, the Illinois Club, the Ohio Club.
Okay.
And that shows what a national attraction Hot Springs was. I don't think a lot of us who are Arkansans really fully grasp just how big Hot Springs was in the 20s and 30s. For instance, I remember I was at Hershey, Pennsylvania, touring the museum up there once, and I look up when Milton Hershey got married. Where did he decide to go on a honeymoon? This guy could have gone anywhere in the world. Hot Springs, Arkansas.
How about that?
Is where the founder of Hershey's Chocolate
went.
So that's kind of an example of what a place that was. And the Ohio Club was right there in the middle of it.
Before the Grapefruit League.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that, the baseball mecca.
As spring practice started there.
Now, it is clear the oldest restaurant spring that we're gonna see, 119 years old. I've actually been there one time to eat the White House Cafe in Camden. So that's legit, right?
And not only does it have history, it's still going strong. Yeah. I was by it just the other day. I was down that way a couple of weeks ago. Still going strong, but the food is great, David.
I think I had a steak.
They've got great steaks. They've got good Mexican food.
Yeah. It's got a bar, too.
Camden has a surprising amount of good restaurants for a city that size. They got at least five places I like in Camden.
Yeah,
Wood's Place for Catfish, Allen's downtown, What's Cooking downtown. In addition to the White House.
And I love the way the White House is on the corner. It's a weird building.
There used to be a train track right there.
Is that why?
That's why the White House was established. Camden was a going place more than 100 years ago. And the White House was built right by the depot. The old depot's still there. The tracks have been taken up. And it was, in its early years, a 24-hour-a-day restaurant.
How about that?
It was always open.
And
if your train had a stop or you were changing trains in Camden, you could go to the White House and get a meal at any time of day or night.
So that one opened in 1910. Let's go next to, 1907 for Camden. For the White House Cafe. And then Jones Barbecue Diner, that's 116. Well, they say it's sometime in the 1910s. They're not an exact date, right?
Jones Barbecue, of course, the first Arkansas establishment to win a James Beard Award. If you're not familiar with James Beard, it is to the food industry what an Academy Award would be to the movie industry, what a Grammy would be to the music industry. It's the big one.
Sure.
and Jones was the first to win one in Arkansas. John T. Edge, the Southern food expert, a lot of people I know now watch his True South show on the SEC
Network. Yeah, you bet.
You've probably seen.
Yeah.
I got John T. interested in Arkansas barbecue a number of years ago, and he just fell in love with Jones and began researching it. Now, on the sign, as you say, David, I think it says 19, what are we at, 10?
Well, I said for that, this graphic, I said 1910, but it said sometime in the between 1910 and 1920.
We don't have good records,
right.
But John T. thinks that the Jones family began selling barbecue out of their house in the 1800s,
oh, wow.
Actually,
okay.
That it may be older. And he tells me, let this soak in for a minute, that he thinks that Jones may be the only, the oldest continuously operated black-owned restaurant in America.
In America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The oldest black-owned restaurant in America in Marianne, Arkansas.
So the guy now is third generation?
That?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I've heard too.
Mr. Harrell's a man of few words, so
yeah.
Don't expect to get many words out of him, Dave.
I told Roger what I've heard too. He prepares, and when it runs out, he closes the door. Says, that's
right.
It.
Exactly. I have seen people come there. When I do my Delta barbecue tours that I give away for charity, that's always our first stop because he runs out. Now, I have a secret ingredient, and that is former State Senator Steve Higginbotham, great guy over there, goes in and checks on Mr. Jones every morning.
Sure.
And helps him nice. Out. So when I know I'm coming, I'll always tell Steve, you tell Mr. Harrell that I'll have five people tomorrow. I'll be there by 10:15 a.m.,
yeah.
Save enough for at least five sandwiches.
And that's
and
what
he will do so.
Roger,
so
we may have to, you know,
you'll
call,
get
call
word
in advance.
Over in advance.
And
we'll have Rex call for
you. That's a good idea, Roger.
I can do that.
Yeah, I had a couple people say, you know, it's really more hype than whatever.
Oh, no,
it's
no,
white
it's
bread.
Good.
Okay, that's a Rex Nelson endorsement.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Sims was not with their big piece of white bread.
That's
and
salt
yeah,
of the earth. Blue collar.
That's fantastic.
I don't mind the white bread either.
It is a very thin vinegar-based sauce, and
oh,
some people don't
it,
like
it.
Yeah,
I don't want a gourmet burger. I want a burger.
Yeah.
I don't want fancy. Don't fancy it up. It's what it is. Not
and
to
you
say
get
that
your drink out of the refrigerator.
Oh,
well,
dude,
you know, barbecue is subjective to a certain degree.
Sure,
we got one more that we'll talk about, and so the person who ever sent that said they weren't. It wasn't about the white bread. It was just they. You know, like we did with Alaska's. We didn't come away just blown away with Alaska's Inn. By the way, is Alaska's Inn still open?
No.
What happened?
Mr. Washington got ill. There were some family difficulties also. He keeps telling people he's going to come back, and I hope he does. I mean, the building still looks great sitting there. I look down every time I pass on Interstate 30.
I didn't know if that construction
some buffalo ribs,
caused an issue or not. Yeah.
But I don't know if he's coming back or not. That's our other James Beard winner in the state, by the way.
Is that right?
The only two James Beard winners ever in Arkansas are both black-owned restaurants.
And I hate that Lassus is closed. I'll be darned. Last two real quick. Opened in 1922, 104 years old, the Skyline Cafe in Mena. We've been to Mena before, but we
Skyline's a classic. Yeah,
it is,
especially a good early big breakfast.
Yeah, 1922, and then the Dixie Pig in Blytheville, 103 years old, 1923.
You know, Blytheville, I have declared the barbecue capital of Arkansas.
Wow, is that right?
Per capita, because it's got at least four places I like to get barbecue. The two classics are the Dixie Pig and the Cream Castle with two K's.
Where's that?
It is just down the road from Dixie Pig.
It's right down
Blytheville.
The street. Okay. Wow.
But it's a drive-in. It's an old Sonic style drive-in.
How long has that been
like
around?
It's been around not as long as Dixie Pig, but a long time, decades. And they both call it there. What it is you order a pig sandwich. That's what they call a barbecue sandwich in Blytheville.
A pig sandwich.
Get a pig sandwich. The Blytheville style is it's very finely chopped, and their sauce is also, much like Jones, a very thin vinegar-based sauce, again, which I love.
Yep.
Get it with slaw. They'll think you're a Yankee if you say no slaw. And you got to try both while you're there.
And Blytheville is how far from Little Rock? How far is it?
It's a good 3 hours.
It's
almost
drive.
Memphis.
Yeah. Yikers!
It's a long way. I think you need to stay the night before if you're going to do a show up there.
Going back to Skyline Cafe, what do they serve? Just cafe, Americana?
It's a great American cafe, yeah. Like I said, great breakfasts, burgers, all kinds of sandwiches for lunch, plate lunches.
I want to be clear, because somebody put last night, what about Cafe or Ozark Cafe?
O-Ark.
Listen, there are a couple more.
Again, O-Ark is, for much of its life, it was a country store, not a restaurant.
Yeah.
They moved most everything out and became a restaurant. So it is old, but it's not the oldest continuous restaurant because it wasn't a restaurant for most of its life.
It was a country
store with gas pumps.
Just for everybody, they're more than these five. Sure. They're not many more.
I'm talking about 100 plus.
Not many. There's maybe two or three others, but they're not many more than the five that over 100.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Roger was talking about in the Hot Springs, Roger, your McLaurin's. It's 80 or 90. There's a lot of 80 and 90s, but we just wanted to hit the 100 year mark.
I think you've got them.
Yeah.
I think you've got five
interesting stories in different parts of the state, Roger.
Yeah,
we're going from one side of the state to
the south part of Arkansas.
I mean, think about that. From Blytheville, northeast, to the farthest east for Mariana.
Yeah.
Southwest
to
with Mina.
To far west on the
Mina.
Oklahoma border to
yeah.
Mina.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Hot Springs.
If we're ever fortunate to get Rex Nelson as a regular on here again, this has got to be part of his own.
Yes. If you heard the song, this is Johnny Cash's song.
He's an Arkansas man.
Oh.
Arkansas-loving man.
Johnny Cash.
We had not heard this song until they played it on the Dallas Cowboy 8-hour series that they did on Netflix, and this was the very end. We're like, where did that song come from? Listen to it. It'll take us to break. We'll have one more segment with Rex.
Girls know who I am. I'm a natural, actual, real, authentic Arkansas loving man.
How about that? How about that? All right, don't go away. 847.